That's what we're here to do, is to obey Him. So we got 30 minutes. Let's see what we can do. Hey, thanks for being here this morning. I met some nice folk today, Betty and Nelson Bascom. They're retired AG pastors, and they pastored in Greeley, Colorado back there. And they were telling me about, they said, you know, years ago they had Mike French preach revival, and they had just said that, and I saw Mike come through the door. And I went, well, what do you know? He's still around. You may have asked him about preaching a revival. He's retired now, but anyway, it's what an evangelist does. So, but it's great to have the Bascoms here, and it's great to have Mike French home with us today. Well, we've been focusing these last two Sundays on standing in the freedom Christ secured for us through His death and resurrection. We quoted two Sundays ago, we read from Galatians 5, verse 1, where Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again or be yoked again in slavery or in a yoke of slavery. We talked about the fact that we've been set free in Christ through His death and resurrection. Last Sunday, we emphasized that we've been buried with Christ in baptism, resurrected to walk in a new life, that the old sinful nature is dead and buried, and we've been given a redeemed nature. We've been liberated from sin and the control of Satan. We've been made new in Christ. We've been born again. That's the term that the New Testament uses, that Jesus Himself used. You need to be born again. We've got a new life. We've got a new attitude. We've got a new heart, a new spiritual heart. He's giving us new desires, new direction. He's redeemed and remade our emotions. He's refocused us in all these ways. All of this is happening. We're under new management. This is what salvation looks like, a new life in Christ. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life and gives you power to live an overcoming life in Jesus. We've been set free through our faith in Christ. And Paul says, stand firm in that. Stay free in that freedom. And don't go back into a yoke of slavery or bondage. Live in and walk in that freedom. And so last Sunday we talked about how we were going to stand in that freedom. We quoted from Galatians 5, verse 24 and verse 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires, those inappropriate passions and desires. And then he said, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We focused on the first half of that last Sunday. We talked about dead men walking. That was where the name of the series came from. That we're crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians 2. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God. So we're crucified, we're dead, yet we're walking, living and walking by the Spirit. So, crucifying the flesh, that's what we talked about last week. Now we want to focus on walking by the Spirit. That's the way for us to stay free. So those who belong to Jesus will live every day as though that old nature, the passions and desires of the old sinful nature, have been crucified and put to death. And we talked about what that looked like last week. Crucifixion, if you remember. And we said then, it's not just a once and for all event that occurs when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to be our Savior. But then it's an everyday decision that I'm going to live as though I were crucified. I'm going to live as though I'm dead to that old way of living. I refuse to let sin gain a base of operations from which to operate in my life. I won't allow anything or anyone to pull me back into sinful behavior or sinful habits. Paul wrote in Romans 6, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. Count yourself as though you were dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Remember I said last Sunday, you can parade all kinds of sinful things and tempting things in front of a dead man, and he's not reaching for any of it because he's dead. So consider yourself, act as though you were dead to sin. Like, well, I can't be tempted by that. I'm a dead man walking. I'm not going back to that. And then he says, therefore, because here's what this looks like, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so you obey its evil desires. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your hands, your feet. As instruments of wickedness, rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. Paul says we're to be like a living sacrifice. So here we give our body. Lord, let my body be used as an instrument of goodness and righteousness and kindness and the things of Christ, rather than as instruments of evil to do harm or to do those things that aren't pleasing to God. So we consider ourselves dead to sin. We won't allow sin to reign in our mortal body, Paul says. What does that mean exactly? It means we're not going to allow sin to take charge of us. We're not going to allow sin to dominate us or to be in charge of the decisions we make or the actions we take or the thoughts that we dwell on. We won't make ourselves available to Satan or to sin. We won't cooperate with sin or wickedness. Instead, we offer ourselves, body, mind, and spirit, to the Lord, since He owns us. He bought us with His blood, and we're going to live for Him and serve Him. We're saying that we won't give in to the unspiritual life. Instead, crucifying the flesh, dead to sin and alive in Christ, we choose to live a life in the Spirit or by the Spirit. And this is the other piece of how we're going to stand firm in that freedom that Christ secured for us. Not just crucifying the flesh, but living every day, walking by the Spirit. So Paul writes in verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." So if we live by the Spirit, we've crucified that old man, we're making those choices. I'm not going back to sinful things. But when we live by the Spirit, he's reforming the desires and passion and drive in us. We don't even want to go there. So he says, if you live by the Spirit, you're not going to be messing with all that stuff that is of that old nature. So Paul uses this term, live by the Spirit. He also says, led by the Spirit. He says, NIV phrases it, keep in step with the Spirit. Other translations read, walk in the Spirit. So take all that and kind of put it together. Live by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. What's it all mean? It's talking about life in the Spirit. It's being a life completely surrendered to Christ. It's a life that is completely given to Christ, led by His Spirit, living by His Spirit, walking in step with His Spirit. When we repent of our sins and place our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. He does that work of regeneration. He makes us a brand new creation in Christ. And then Paul says in Romans chapter 8, that He's predestined us to make us conformable to the image of His Son. So the Holy Spirit begins this work to make us look and act and talk more like a child of God. More in the, you know, I don't know if your mom ever said, "I wish you could be more like your big brother." And you would have resented that. But when the Holy Spirit says, "I wish you could be more like your big brother Jesus," I say, "Boy, I do too. Let's work on that. Let's work on that." Now, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to be more like my big brother. I still do. He's a kinder, smarter version of me and a better piano player. But it was, and there's no way he'd ever see this or hear this. So anyway, I can go ahead and say that. But as a kid growing up, man, I listened to my brother play the piano, practicing every day. And I wanted to fast forward. I wanted to be able to do that without practicing. But I always thought, man, I wish I could play the piano like my brother. And he sang in a quartet. I wanted to sing like my brother. And he's got a PhD. And I wanted to be smart like him. I never did that. But anyway, so I wanted to be like him. Well, when I see Jesus, I think, yeah, I want to be like Him. Well, the Holy Spirit says, great, because that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to make you more like the person you want to be. I'm a better version of Phil Taylor if I'm becoming more and more like Jesus and He's being glorified in my life. And so He's at work in us to make us conformable to the image of Christ. He's giving us this new nature, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new worldview, a new way of perceiving things, a new way of acting. He's redirecting our focus. He comes to develop the character of Christ in our life, what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And in place of that old way of living, the old characteristics that Paul mentions there in verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature, that old way of living that was full of immorality and selfishness and greed and anger and envy and jealousy and hatred and all that stuff, factions and all that. Instead, the Holy Spirit is producing love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control in our lives, things that make us more like Christ. It's the character of Christ. That's what the Spirit's doing. So in Christ, we're living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life if we'll continue to live by the Spirit and walk in step with the Spirit. Now, Paul gives us a picture of a shepherd leading his sheep. And the Holy Spirit takes the initiative. He's leading us in ways that are pleasing to Christ. Head them up, move them out. Here we go. And so the Holy Spirit's leading us. We're walking with Him. He's leading us in ways that are consistent with God's Word and God's will. But notice He says, He tells us, warns us, that His ways, the path the Holy Spirit leads us in, His ways will be in conflict with the old ways of the flesh. So in verse 17, He says, "For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." So choosing to live by the Spirit puts us at odds with our flesh, with that old nature, that old sinful nature. We keep killing that thing, and it's like one of those bad horror movies, you know, where the woman alone in the house, and she shot that guy and set fire to him and everything else, and you're sure he's dead. You're sure he's dead. And I'm still saying to her, kick the gun away and don't step over him. It's a bad plan. Shoot him one more time. But instead, she walks right up there, and you're sitting there with your bowl of popcorn. You know what's going to happen. And she steps over him, and just as she starts to take the next step, he grabs her by the ankle, and your popcorn flies up, and what in the world? And I knew it was going to happen, and I still jumped out of my skin. What's that about? That's kind of the way that old nature does. I've crucified that thing, and just when I think I've got it, I'm there worshiping God on a Sunday morning, and something happens, and man, he grabs you again. I have to say, I'm going to crucify that again. I'm putting that under. I'm not taking him down because I know that he wants to mess with me. And so I'm keeping that thing down. Well, he does what's contrary to the Spirit. That old man, still, there's a conflict going on. So I'm going to choose to follow the Holy Spirit rather than give in to sin. And notice that last verse, so that you do not do what you want. Now, I'd read that. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. You know, Paul says in Romans 7, he says something about, there's a war going on. So he says, so the things that I would do, the things I know I ought to do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't be doing, those are the things I do. Oh, sinful man, who's going to deliver me from this body of flesh? And so I kind of read that, and then I read that verse. They're in conflict with each other so that you don't do what you want. And it makes it sound kind of like, yeah, I know I ought to be doing better, but I end up not doing what I want. But I read a commentary as I was studying all this, and it kind of gave me another way to think about that. Maybe he's not just saying you end up doing the wrong thing. Maybe what he's saying is they're in conflict with each other, so you don't do what you want to do. You're smarter than that. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, you make this decision. I'm going to do what the Spirit of God wants me to do. I'm going to pray the same prayer, so they're in conflict with each other, so I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to pray what Jesus prayed in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm not going to do what the flesh wants me to do. I'm going to do what the Spirit is directing me to do. I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me to do. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit is prompting me to do. I'm going to be obedient to Christ. I don't do what I want to do. I'm not making my own choices. I do what the Spirit wants me to do. I learn to live in obedience and walk in obedience to the Lord, surrendering my life and my will to the Lord's will and His life at work in me. We live by the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. And I want you to think about that for a minute. If you're living by the Spirit, that means He's constantly at work in your life. I'm breathing today by the Spirit. He's given me life. He's given me breath. You know, the preacher said he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. I'm living in Him. We live and move and have our being, Paul said, quoting an old wise man. We live and move and have our being in Him. He's constantly revealing the things of God to us, constantly making us conformable to the image of Christ, constantly testifying of Jesus and pointing to Him, making Jesus large in our lives so that we want to see Him and want to be with Him and want to spend time with Him and want to be more like Him. If you live by the Spirit, He's convicting you of sin. He's warning you. He's not condemning you. The Holy Spirit doesn't go, you sorry, rotten thing. Phil does that to himself or whatever. You do that. Well, I know better. But the Holy Spirit convicts you. Hey, that'll hurt you. Don't do that. It will remind you of the truth. Remember what you said. You weren't going to do that anymore. And that's devastating to you. Don't do that. He convicts us. He convinces us. I sound like Carlton Pearson. Convict, to convict, to convince, to be, anyway, to wear prisoner's garments. I don't know. He always went, but anyway, forget that. Squirrel. He convinces us of sin. He convinces us, convicts us of the right way to live. He warns us about paths that we shouldn't take. He's at work in us, enabling us to live a godly life. He's empowering us so we can choose to do what's right and pleasing to God. And so as you choose God's way, as you choose to walk by the Spirit, that sinful nature that Paul's talking about, it gets pretty uncomfortable. And that sinful nature resists and it starts whining and pulling and pleading and tugging with you to give back, to give in to the flesh and give in to sin, give in to that old way of life. But you're choosing to obey God. You're choosing to live as though, remember, live as though you were crucified and dead to the old passions and the old nature. I'm choosing to live as though I can't get my hands free to punch you in the face and sin. I'm choosing as though I'm dead to that, so I'm not going to look at something that would deceive me or is immoral or impure. I'm choosing instead to follow the Holy Spirit in His leading and to follow in that path. It's a righteous path. It's the right way to go. And as you follow the Holy Spirit, He then is continuing to form new desires in your life. Desires that are in keeping with a new nature and with that new birth that we receive through Jesus. So we're living a life and we're saying, you know what? I'm a new person in Christ. And we're able then to say, no, I don't do that anymore. I used to do that, but I don't, because I'm a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. This has become new. I live as though I was dead to that, and I'm alive to this. And I choose this. I choose to obey Jesus and to follow the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. The Holy Spirit is doing the leading, but we're doing the walking. The Spirit's doing the leading. He's living in us. He's bearing fruit, producing fruit in us. He's changing our desires into what God desires for us, which is the absolute best. Whatever God has for you, trust me, that's the absolute best. But we're doing the walking. That means our role is not just passive submission to the Holy Spirit's leading. Well, Lord, come deliver me from sin as we, you know, start, whatever, engaging in sin. I thought you were going to deliver me. No, He's leading us. He's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing going through that door? I'm leading you in the right path, but you're doing the walking. So if the Holy Spirit says we're going over where and there's big neon signs, you know, sin over here, and we're going, yeah, well, I'm going to go over here. He's leading, but we're doing the walking. I remember, how long have we been married? 43 years. So 43, I was in New Orleans a year ago. Is that right? A year ago last summer. And that was the first time I'd been there in 42 years. We were there 43 years ago. Paula and I, we were just married that summer and we'd gone to Holder Revival in Baton Rouge and I said, let's go to New Orleans. And pulled down there to see what Bourbon Street was all about. I still remember parking in that out on the street somewhere and a guy said, you going to leave that stuff in your back seat? Yeah. Well, it won't be there when you get back. I said, aren't you going to be here? Yeah, but I'm not going to stop anybody from stealing it, and they'll steal it. I thought, where am I? How did I get from Tulsa to down here? And so we walked down through Bourbon Street. Is it possible that it was worse 43 years ago than it is now? I don't know. But there's a guy standing out there in front of one of those, like, really seedy kind of places or whatever. And he's just... honestly, this is what he's doing. It was kind of in a like a three-pack-a-day kind of voice. And they had, well, they're paying him like, what, a buck? I don't know what they were paying. But he's just standing there going, sin, lust, sex, lust. And I thought, well, you know, buddy, your marketing, maybe your marketing ought to improve on that because that's not drawing me in, all right? But, you know, it doesn't, the devil doesn't, he figures his marketing's pretty good because there's something tied up in the heart of people that makes them move towards that. That's that old nature we're talking about that has to be, that's dead in Christ and resurrected to a new life. And I still remember that. And the truth is, you can take all the photoshopping and glossy prints off all the sexual immorality and pornography and all that stuff. And when you get it all deduced down, it's that right there. Sex, lust, because there's nothing beautiful in it. It's just drawing at something that is not the beauty that God had. I don't know why I threw that in there, but it was for somebody. Because the choice is, I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going in there with that guy. I didn't even want to catch what that guy had, let alone what anybody else had in there. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and keep walking in the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit and not something else. We're making a choice moment by moment to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and to walk in the direction He's going. Now let me show you something about walking with the Spirit and then we'll be done. Galatians 5, if you got your Bible or whatever your 220 translations you've got on your phone or whatever you've got. Galatians 5:16 and Galatians 5:25. The NIV translates both verses as live by the Spirit. So I say live by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In a New American Standard uses walk by the Spirit. King James says walk by the Spirit. So here's the way I think the NIV says it. But I say walk by the Spirit. Or this is the way NASB. It doesn't matter what the translation is. Look at this. But I say walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 25 says if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So the other verses are saying live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And this version says walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Those two uses of the word walk, that's what I want you to see. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit. That word that's translated as walk in that translation, in the Greek, it's a word that just means walk. It means that's what we're doing. We're just walking. All right, so that's the word. Verse 25, when he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That word means to walk in line or to be in line with. It's used as a military term for walking in an ordered row. So it means to march in line with something or someone. I'm always fascinated, I mentioned in the first service, with the North Korean guys. They always show that same shot of them out there, marching past the whatever he is. And they got that big high kicking thing or whatever, and they're all totally in step with one another. It's like, well, you know, man, that's amazing that they get in step. Of course, I realize, like, if they get out of step, it's like, bring another guy in. So anyway, but it's that precise walking, that ordered step thing or whatever. They're staying in line with the row in front of them, right? That's what you do. They used to, you know, line us up and shoulder right kind of thing, you know. And so you do that to make sure you're in line and you're an arm out. You know, it's kind of that, you know, what are you doing? Training, sir. It's that kind of deal right there, you know. Anyway, those of you that know what I'm talking about. So we're lined up and ready to go here. That's what he's talking about. We're marching in an ordered row. That's why NIV translates verse 25 this way. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, that Greek word that's used there in verse 25, it's used five times in the New Testament. Each time it's talking about a rule or a standard or a principle that's being followed. So it's saying we're to follow in line with a guiding principle or a standard where something has been laid out for us and we're to walk that straight line following in obedience. That's what it's talking about. Well, Paul here says that the line we're to fall in behind, that we're to follow, is the Holy Spirit Himself. And His rule and His standard and His life, we're to march in line with that. To walk by the Spirit is to deliberately walk along the path according to the line which the Holy Spirit lays down for our lives. Well, how do we know what that path is? How are we going to know? Is it enough to say, well, I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit? I've had some people say, well, I just feel like I was following the leading of the Lord. And I'm thinking, I don't know about that because that didn't line up with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's not going to lead us somewhere where the Word of God already says, nope, we're not going there. So what are we talking about? How do we know that we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit? How can we discern what that is? Do you realize that He's helped us? He's written a book for us. He's given us the Word of God. And if we walk in line with God's Word and by His Spirit, we're going to stay in line with the Spirit if we're obeying this Word. Here's what Peter writes. He says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." What he's saying is that guys didn't just decide, "I'm going to write a book." They were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them direction. He moved upon them, and so the book we have was authored, breathed out by the Holy Spirit. The Bible, the Word of God, was given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's a living Word to us. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, then we need to know what this book says and what He continues to say to us in this book. We need to read the Word of God and study it and then live it out. This is the pattern. This is the rule for us to follow. Paul writes, all Scripture is God-breathed, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God, by His Holy Spirit, spoke this Word, and it's useful to teach us, to rebuke us when we're in error, to correct us when we're getting off the path, and He pulls us back in line. No, you need to be walking this way. He trains us so we can stand strong in serving the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit-given, inspired, Holy Spirit-breathed-out Word of God. This Word shows us the way we're to go, the path we're to follow as the Spirit leads. We're to line up with the Word as the Holy Spirit makes it alive, a living thing in our heart. And if we don't know the Word of God, then we're prone to wander from the path. We're just all over the place. The Spirit will speak to us and lead us through His Word. The psalmist declared, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." How are we going to know? The Word of God. It illuminates our path so we know the step to take. The psalmist asks, "How can a young man keep his way pure? How do I keep from sinning against God?" By living according to Your Word. Line up. Read it. Know it. Know what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible is saying. Here's what's expected of us. And then walk in obedience and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us in a path that's in keeping with the Word of God. So, Galatians 5:25. "Since we live by the Spirit, let us..." NIV says, "keep in step." That's the good translation of that word, walk. Keep in step. Keep in step. Follow in line. Henry David Thoreau, wasn't it him that said, "We march to the beat of a different drummer"? Stay in the drum beat of the Holy Spirit. Stay with Him. Where is He leading us? Then that's where we're going to go. Wherever He leads, that's where we're going to follow. We're going to stay in the path with Him. Now let me tell you, Sarah, grab your Bible. I'll come up here just a second. So, what happens, you remember I think it's still in the funny papers on Sunday morning, that family circle. Bill Keene. I know who wrote it. You know who did it? Bill Keene, that's the guy. Anyway, I remember Billy and like Mom would say, you know, "Run out in the yard and get this and bring it back," and then it would show the little dotted line where he'd go pet the dog, and then he climbed a tree, and then he jumped a fence, and then he found a frog, and he just runs after all these things, and then finally, 30 minutes later, he kind of comes back in, and it shows you he's been all over the yard, all this little path everywhere to get to where he's going. Well, the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, I'm so glad we're on this journey together. Come follow me." And so go ahead and walk that way. So if we're walking, hey, this is good. I'm following the Holy Spirit. I know where I'm going. I'm following according to the Word of God, and this is great. But what happened? Come back here. But what happens is, so much of the time, it's kind of that, what I said before, squirrel. And so we say we're going to commit here in a little bit at the end of this service. We're going to say, "Lord, I'm going to do my best to serve You and to follow You. I'm going to obey You. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord." And we say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to follow You." And then we say, "Well, look at that. There's a deal over here." And we come over here and we start piddling around, and the Holy Spirit He's leading and we're not walking. Remember I said, the Holy Spirit leads, but we're the one that we do the walking. And if we're not walking in step with Him, what happens is, I'll tell you what happens, we get off over here somewhere, and then we kind of go, "Well, how in the world did I get over here? That's a long way back, isn't it?" And then we find ourselves caught in something. You know what we stop doing? We stop crucifying the flesh. We start saying, "Yes, we saw the sign," and we started messing with something, and it kind of led us off the path, and then we forgot about what the Bible said, and then we just kind of start doing whatever we want to do, and now it seems like we're a long way back. But you know, the truth of that is, come over here, though the Holy Spirit's leading us and guiding us, He's also the Spirit over here saying, "You're making a mistake if you do that. because we're supposed to be making progress. I thought this morning, Lord, maybe I should have been way over there, and I keep coming back over here. I don't want to be here. I want to be where the Holy Spirit leads me. We're staying in step. He leads and guides. It's not just that I'm following Him. He's alongside me, because Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter, one that will come alongside you and comfort you and empower you and encourage you. He's leading us all along the way. We're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much for betraying the Holy Spirit. Remember Dick Gruber, the children's guy for the Assemblies of God? He came here and did a thing, and he talked about us. He'd do this thing. He had like a... You remember him? He had like a overcoat thing on, and he'd say, the Holy Spirit. You can't see Him, but He's always with you. Stuck with me, man. What a great children's story. The Holy Spirit. You can't see Him, but He's always... I'm glad we're not live streaming yet. I don't want to be... Capture that right there. Oh. Listen, I want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I want to go where His Word is taking me. It's what the Holy Spirit and His Word headed that direction. Listen, if you're wandering around all over the place and you've stopped walking in step with the Spirit, man, you're going to be in trouble. You stop crucifying the old nature. You start giving into stuff. You won't be standing in freedom very long. You're going to go back into slavery and back into bondage. Get in step with the Spirit and stay in step with the life of the Spirit. Hide God's Word in your heart and stay in step with the author of this book, the Holy Spirit. Don't fall behind. March to His drumbeat. Move when He says move. Stop when He says stop. Stay as close to Jesus and His Holy Spirit as you can. Stay in line with God's Word. That's the answer. So here it is. We're going to live in that freedom Christ secured for us, free from sin, free from bondage to an old way of living. Every day we're going to choose to live as though we were crucified with Christ, and that old sinful nature is dead to us with its passions and desires. We choose, I'm not living in that. We're not trying to pull the nails out of the cross so we can get free. I'm dead to an old way of life. I'm dead to all that stuff. And we live like dead men walking because that old man's been crucified. And every day, in addition, I choose to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I choose to be led by the Spirit and led according to the Word of God. I'm going where He says to go. I'm living according to the life of the Spirit in me, following as He leads, and living in obedience to His Word. In his commentary on Galatians, John Stott wrote this: as therefore we crucify the flesh, repudiating what we know to be wrong, so too we must walk by the Spirit, setting ourselves to follow what we know to be right. We're saying no to what we know to be wrong, and we're choosing to do and to follow what we know to be right. We reject one path to follow another. We turn from what's evil in order to occupy ourselves with what is good. And if it's vital to be ruthless in turning away from the things of the flesh, we talked about that last week, about crucifying the flesh. If it's, we're ruthless and pitiless as we turn away from the things of the flesh, it's equally vital to be disciplined in turning toward the things of the Spirit. We reject one path to follow another, and there are a million alternate paths, aren't there? And the flesh and the devil and friends and all kinds of people or whatever saying, come this way and let's go this way. But we have to decide, I'm going to choose to take the path the Holy Spirit chooses. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to walk in obedience to that path. I'm going to stay on the path. I'm going to stay on the path. Now, you know, the amazing thing is, He doesn't disappear over the hill. And we think, well, I'll never be able to catch up with Him again. I don't know why. My mind is just, woo, everywhere today. I remember one time we ran out of gas. The trio, the Peacemakers, ran out of gas. And we got out and we started pushing the van. We were on the turnpike out here. And so we're pushing the van. And we get it up over one hill. And it's like it starts coasting faster. And so Roger goes, we'll jump in the van. We'll coast. And so I'm at the back. And I think Jeff and Roger both got in the van. And it tops a hill before I got in it, and then it's gone. It actually, I see it kind of disappear in the horizon, and I thought, all right. There it goes. Wonder how far they're going to get, and I'll come dragging up finally. when they get stuck on the next hill. The Holy Spirit's not disappearing somewhere out there. Like, well, he ran off and left me, and now I don't know the way back. You know what? I told you, he's still whispering to you, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You're going to make a mess of this. You're going to ruin this. You don't want to do this. Come on, walk with me, walk with me. But the good news of his grace is that even if we take all that circuitous path out there and get in all that mess, the Holy Spirit's still going to be saying, come on, come on, come on, get in step with me and let's walk again. Now, the sad part of that is we look back at all that and, you know, you say, well, what difference does it make then? If I'm eventually going to end up okay, is that what you're saying? Yeah, but here it's like, well, over there is where I lost my marriage. And over there is where my kids, where I lost my kids. And this is where I lost my integrity. This is where my reputation was destroyed because of the choices I made. This is where I lost my job because of the sacrifice of my integrity. This is where, you know, and we got all this baggage out here. But the Holy Spirit says, come on. God says, my grace is sufficient. I'll forgive you of all that. And then sometimes we have to wrestle with letting go of all that baggage. We keep looking over, thinking it's gaining on us. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm walking with you. Come on, just walk with me. Walk with me. You're leaving all that. You crucified. You live as though all that were dead and gone from you. Just keep walking with me. Let's walk in obedience. And folks, we're going to make it all the way to heaven if we will obey His Word and walk by His Spirit and live as though that old man is crucified and dead. We're dead men and women walking, obeying the Lord and serving Him. We reject one path and all those alternate paths, and we're going to walk in obedience to the Lord. That's what He calls us to this morning. That's what we're going to do. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I got a feeling there's some people here. Maybe you've asked Jesus to save you and deliver you, but you'd have to admit you haven't exactly been walking by the Spirit lately. You're not keeping in step with the Spirit, or you keep doing things you know Jesus wouldn't do, or saying things you know Jesus wouldn't say, or treating people in ways you know Jesus wouldn't treat people. And you say you're living for Jesus, but the truth is you're not in step with the Spirit. Or maybe you're so hounded by the mistakes of the past that it's blinded you to the path in front of you. Get in the Word and stay in step with the Spirit. But if today, if you're here this morning and you're wondering, how did I get here? And I just need to renew my commitment to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and to be led by Him. I wonder if you'd just slip out and come and stand here at the front so we can pray together this morning. You'd say, I just know I need to get in step with where the Spirit's leading me. And I know maybe you woke up this morning thinking, I don't know how I got here, but I'm somewhere I never planned to be. And I need to get in step with the Lord. Young or old, whoever. Anybody need to join me down here this morning so we can pray together? You're just saying, I want to get in step. I want to make sure that I'm walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. You're just saying, I want to make sure that I'm walking in step with Him. Come on. Somebody else. You think, well, people think I'm a sinner. Well, yeah. Pretty well clears that up because Margie's walked up here, so she's in the saint category as far as I'm concerned. Who else? You just need to say, I got to get in line. I got to get my life in line with where I know it needs to be in walking with Jesus. Because I've been all over the platform. I've been to all those other places. And I'll tell you what, you're just saying, I know I just need to get in line today. I need to make sure I'm in line with Him. Somebody else, we're just going to wait another minute and then we're going to pray together. You're making a choice today. We're being led by the Spirit, but we're having to do the walking and we're having to choose. And I want to tell you, I don't know what obedience what obedience looks like to you. Some days just being obedient and being in step with the Spirit just means, for me, put your suit on and go preach on Sunday morning. Some days that's obedience because it just feels like I can run another direction. But this is obedience. This is being led by the Spirit. I'm supposed to be here today talking to you. This is what the call is, and so I want to be obedient to that. What's the call to you? What's He saying, and how do you keep living in obedience to that call? I don't know the answer to that. But you and the Holy Spirit can kind of get that worked out this morning. Would you stretch your hands toward these friends that have come today? Father, in Jesus' name, we're just pledging ourselves fresh and new today to say, yes, we want to live our lives in step with the Holy Spirit, with your direction for our lives, with what you have for us. Lord, there's an anointing. There's an anointing upon your life, and we'll be obedient to honor that and to run after you, Lord, to choose you above everything else. Lord, we want to walk in obedience to you, Lord. Let it be in the name of Jesus. To be a peace that settles, Lord, as we just determine, Lord, I just want to please you and honor you. I want to stay in step. So, Lord, we trust your timing in all this. We're going to keep in step to the rhythm, to the drumbeat of the Spirit. We'll walk in step. And if you say slow down, we'll slow down. If we speed up, we'll speed up. And we're going to walk in step with you. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we walk in step with you today. We pledge that today. We're going to walk in step with you. We're going to be obedient to you. All that you have for us, Lord, we're going to keep in step. There's no place else for us to turn, not to the right or to the left. A million other paths, but we choose to walk in obedience to you and to your path, Lord. We choose to follow you in obedience. You lead us into a good place, a wide place, Lord. A place of grace. A place where we'll know your peace and your comfort, Lord. We'll walk in that in the name of Jesus. We'll walk in your peace. We're just going to live our lives in step with the Holy Spirit, in step with the Word of God, in step, Lord. That's what it means for us to be in obedience. We're going to march in that row with you, Lord. We're going to follow you in obedience. We're going to say yes to you. We're going to say no to one thing and yes to another. No to one path and yes to another. No to one path and yes to another. To be obedient to you, Lord. That we'll be made conformable to the image of Christ. That we'll choose those paths that you have for us, Lord. We'll choose to be obedient to you, Lord. Nothing else will draw us away. Nothing else, Lord, will pull us away. We choose to say yes to you. We choose to be obedient to you and to your call upon our lives. We choose to say yes, Lord. There's a path that you've laid out before us, Lord. We're going to walk in obedience to that. We won't veer from it, Lord. There'll be other offers and other opportunities, but there's a call, Lord, that you whispered to us a long time ago. We're going to say yes to that, and we'll answer that call. We hear it, and we're going to say yes to you, Lord. We'll answer you, and we'll be obedient in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say yes to you today. We say yes to you, no to any other path, and yes to you. Yes to your purpose, yes to your plan, yes to your will, Lord. We say yes to you today in the name of Jesus. Obedient to you and what your call is, Lord. Obedient to you. Help us, Lord, to stay in step with you. In your timing and in your plan and your purpose, Lord, we surrender it all to you. That's what it means for us, Lord, is to just be fully surrendered to you and to your plan and purpose for our life, Lord. Oh, Lord, we seek you today. We seek you today, Lord. And obedience to you is what we want more than anything else. Lord, I want us as a church to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Lord, your heart. I want our heart to beat with the heartbeat of God. I want our feet to be in step and in sync with the Spirit of God and what you have for Carbondale Assembly of God. Every member, every program, every life, Lord, that we can be in step with you and your call upon our lives. Oh, God, help us today to be everything you've called us to be. Let your purposes be accomplished, I pray. Kutarabasete.
He claims ownership in our lives and has the authority to give us direction. And he'll say to us, this is the way, walk in it. And when we feel a consciousness of evil lurking at our doorpost, we're to go to Jesus in sincere prayer and ask for divine deliverance, that we not have the desires of the flesh that drive us to do things that are not pleasing to God. The Lord is calling this church to a spirit-led, spirit life that will cause a harvest to come to this place. It won't come until we surrender.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we surrender to you. We want a harvest, but we surrender to you, to what you say. Lord, we may not like the path you lead us in sometimes, but we're going to be obedient to you, Lord. We're going to say yes to you, to your plan and to your call and your purpose, Lord. read that verse before. Lord, we're not going to choose to do what we want to do. We don't do what we want. We do what the Spirit wants for us. We obey You and Your Word, Lord. And Lord, we don't have a choice. If it just aggravates everybody around us, we're going to do what the Spirit of God prompts us and leads us and guides us to do. We have to. We have to, Lord. It's the path we've chosen when we crucified the flesh and said yes to being led by the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, let us walk in obedience to You. Let us say no to every path of sin. Let us cry out to You for Your help and for Your intervention, Lord. And when we cry out to You, and when we pick up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and when we begin to declare what the Bible says, when we begin to live according to this book, when we live and walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, I believe there's going to be victory in our lives. We'll have victory over sin and over lust and over every temptation and every scheme of the devil. We'll walk in victory if we choose to do so, Lord. Well, we choose today. We're saying yes to You. We're lining up with Your Spirit, walking by Your Word, and we're going to stand free in that freedom that's been secured for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let it be for us today. He set you free. Stand in that freedom. Live in that freedom. Don't let the devil drag you back into something less than the best that God has for you. Amen? Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We won't be over an hour, probably, unless the Lord says so, but we're going to pray tonight. Come join us for prayer. We'll see you tonight.